Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week here on this here program. And I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Abe Hamilton, who's AFA Public Policy Analyst. Abe, I want to make sure that we are honest and have integrity ourselves.
You want to call me Honest Abe? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, we can. Honest Abe and Honest Ed.
Never heard that one before.
Yeah, just like I've never heard Special Ed before. I've heard that one for many, many, many years. But what I was getting at is, you know, we had mentioned Hillary Clinton's health as an issue. And I want to make sure we're even-handed here. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking at Fox News, there's a story on Fox News about Donald Trump scrapping plans to discuss his health with Dr. Oz. So he's not. So I want to make sure now.
Wait, he's backtracking on something he said?
Yes. So I want to make sure that we cover, you know, do this in a fair and impartial way when it comes to these kinds of issues. So Donald Trump has not released medical information, as far as I know, not anything detailed. I think last year while he was running in the primaries, his doctors, you know, released a statement saying he's, you know, he's in amazing shape or something, you know.
Amazing.
Amazing.
You've never seen someone as healthy as Donald Trump.
That's right. It was something like that. But now this, you know, we want to be fair. Donald Trump, if we're going to discuss Hillary Clinton's health records, Donald Trump should also release those too, right?
That is fair. And you have to also acknowledge that, as crooked as it may appear, and as the corrupting foundation may be as corrupt as it is, Hillary Clinton has certainly released her tax returns, and Donald Trump has not done so yet.
That's right. So I don't know why that is. So these are things that people want to know, and it's not just curiosity. I think there are important issues that can be revealed by health records and by tax returns. And so far, Donald Trump has avoided both of those. So, you know, both of these as candidates are on the upper limits of the age scale. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to say they're old because
Eddie V. the wordsmith.
Yeah, the wordsmith. They're pegging out on the far end of the – I think Hillary Clinton's 68 and Donald Trump, I think, is 69.
I think you're right.
They would both be maybe 1 year older once they took office. I think I remember hearing that.
Yeah.
In other words, the numbers would go up one. So this is these are issues that, you know, you want to know about. So anyway, I just want to make clear that that is an issue that it seems to be plaguing Hillary Clinton more, because – Donald Trump, frankly, for a guy who's 69, is on just an incredible schedule.
Yeah.
And is like the Energizer rabbit. But he does brag about the fact that he has a penchant for fried foods and for fast food. And so, anyway, health is an issue. It was an issue when Ronald Reagan was on that upper end of the scale. So to be fair, you know, we encourage both candidates to be totally honest and transparent about these issues.
You have to be. I mean, these are the kind of things that just, why would Donald Trump go out there making this big deal, I'm going to show everything.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz, we just did a physical last Friday. Yes. We're going to let it be known. And now to come back and say, we're not going to do that.
Right. Apparently he is going to still be on the Dr. Oz show, but he is not going to be discussing his exam. Just going to be talking in general about good health. So
why? Why?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm sure the media is going to start asking.
Yeah, you think?
So anyway, I just thought that was a little odd because you know, he's been hammering Hillary and had a chance to go on discuss his medical exam and release the records and let Dr. Oz look at it. Well, we'll find out more about this. This continues to be the strangest presidential campaign and race I have ever seen. And I've been paying attention for many, many years, starting when I was just a boy, and my dad was one of the five people that voted for Barry Goldwater in 1964. So that was a blowout. But I can remember arguments around the dinner table with other family members, you know, extended family, you know, when we'd all get together. And my dad was a staunch conservative. So I started paying attention, but I was just a kid, but paid attention in 68. I couldn't vote, but I was in junior high school, and I remember everyone wearing buttons for whoever they, mine was, of course, was Richard Nixon. So I've been paying attention, but this is the strangest race I think I've ever seen. It's just the Twilight Zone every day on either side of it. So anyway, we'll find out more. So anyway, we want to welcome one of our dear friends of this program, no stranger to the Today's Issues listening audience, Jan Markell, who's founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She's host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard on weekends on AFR. That's Saturday from 1 to 2 Central Time, Sunday from 12 to 1 Central Time. And Jan, want to welcome you back to Today's Issues.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, before we move on to the big news item we want to talk to you about, we loved kind of picking your brain about a variety of issues. What's your take? Abe and I talked about earlier in the program Hillary Clinton's really kind of terrible weekend in terms of her comments about half of Trump's supporters being those in the basket of deplorables. And then her health concerns. What's your take on all that from this past weekend?
Well, I think I just heard you say, Ed, that this is the strangest election season of your lifetime, and I would have to echo a large amen to that. I can't remember anything so bizarre. It kind of makes me wonder, and this isn't a proclamation, it's a question. It's just part of God's judgment on America that we can't even have an election season that's normal. I mean, we have to go through the extreme bizarre, and then I think the extreme bizarre absolutely crescendoed this past weekend, particularly as it concerns Hillary Clinton, and nobody's wishing her ill health, but I think that it's becoming obvious that left are hiding something that's a very serious situation. I mean, the position of President of the United States is really the leader of the free world, and we need these candidates to be in good health, and that just isn't the case.
Well, I'm going to say something that may shock some of our listeners. They've been listening for a long time. They know I'm very conservative. I've never tried to hide that. But watching the video of Hillary Clinton from that angle from behind, where you first got a glimpse of what her body was doing, I got to say, I actually felt pity for the woman. I mean,
yeah.
I really did. I looked at it and I said, this woman, and I'm not trying to diagnose. Maybe it was, dehydration or pneumonia. It might have. Abe's not buying it.
Something got caught in my throat.
But my first reaction was, this woman is not well. And I honestly felt bad for her in terms of being in the midst of, I mean, there's titanic pressures on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's in the middle of a huge campaign. But I went what it looked like her body was doing. I've been in the pastorate for decades, and my heart goes out to people who are battling terrible infirmities.
Yes,
that was my. I'm just gonna be honest. That was my reaction. I don't want our listeners to say, "Oh, you're compromising. You're this and that. You should wish this woman." No, I just thought, "Oh my gosh, this poor woman she's ill."
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be surprised to hear that, Ed.
I mean,
when. One of the touchstones of Christianity is compassion.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't rejoice even if somebody has a political, a diametrically opposed political view or political views, period. That doesn't mean that, we celebrate
right
at their ill health. I mean, I'm sorry, that looks far worse than pneumonia.
Right.
I'm just.
Is it okay for me to feel pity for her, Jan? Was that all right?
Oh, well, I think as Christians, we should, absolutely, as Abe just said, absolutely. But at the same time, I think the American voter right now is just more perplexed than anything. And there are plenty of Christians who, I mean, but Christians are generally strong conservatives because we try to vote the Bible issues, and that kind of forces us to look to the right side of the aisle. And we have a candidate there as well who certainly is flawed, but then we all are. That's right. The problem with humanity is that we are also flawed and fallen, and it just seems that this year the candidates seem to reflect that more than I think I can remember, at least in my lifetime. And I have tracked presidents. I've even tried to track them even up to 100 years ago, because I'm just intrigued by presidential politics and what they stood for. And I'm also intrigued with the various candidates' positions on Israel, particularly since 1917 when the Balfour Declaration came along, and then even more so since 1948, where do the presidential candidates stand on Israel? And that's a fascinating history study, and this year that also plays a big role in what I'm watching.
Well, let's stick with that for just a minute. I do want us to talk about this new law in Massachusetts, so I want to make sure we have enough time for that. But let's stick with that just a little bit. You know, what a lot of people may not know, maybe they do know, but, you know, we've mentioned the 2012, on a number of occasions here in this program, the 2012 Democratic National Convention, when people say, well, the delegates booed God. They didn't just boo God, they also booed Israel.
That's right.
During that moment there. What do you think is happening internally within the Democratic Party in terms of its positioning on the question of Israel?
Well, Ed, I'll never forget that moment back in 2012 at the Democratic Convention. I was watching it on television, obviously, but that was one of the more shocking moments in my life, when an entire political party not only turned, yes, they turned on Israel, but they really turned on God in that particular, I think it was September of 2012. Forget the city right now, but I didn't think I was going to fall out of my chair just watching it. The blatant hostility against God, I think, is something that's hit the Western world, and particularly, first it started in Europe, but now in America, probably in the last 10 to 20, maybe 30 years. But then they had to throw in an Israel resolution back in 2012 as well, and they were equally, the delegates were equally appalled at the thought of recognizing Israel. They had to reject both Israel and God at the same time. I think that says something, because Israel and God are linked, and you can't unlink them. The Bible has Israel and God so intertwined throughout history, even through today. And that's why I'm very concerned about the political parties and what their stand is on Israel. And I can tell you, studying what Hillary Clinton stands for, she stands for the Muslim Brotherhood, just like Barack Obama. That is her link to people in high places. It goes through the Muslim Brotherhood, Huma Abedin, and others. So I am very concerned that she not win in November.
All right. Well, and if we have time at the end of the program, maybe we can circle back around to that. I want to make sure we get to this transgender law in Massachusetts, because this is, I don't know how this law survives, but as Abe and I were talking about earlier in the program, President Obama has so transformed the federal judiciary. I don't trust the federal court system. I trust it less now than at any other point in my lifetime to do the constitutional thing. Mm-hmm. So tell our listeners, if you will, about this controversial law in Massachusetts.
I'm not totally up to speed on it.
Okay.
I think you'd do a better job than I would. I just think it again reflects the deterioration of the culture, the deterioration of our people in leadership, and the fact that I think the country's been given over to a Romans one mentality, just a sort of a depraved mind. Now, that's not everybody, but too many have been turned over to this Romans one mentality. It's very, very scary.
All right, let me go ahead and set the table here, and then we Jan, give me some of your insights concerning it, because I certainly don't disagree with that Romans 1 comment. But here's the law in Massachusetts. And you can go to One News Now, by the way, onenewsnow.com, folks, if you're listening. We have a couple of stories about this law. One is titled Time Ticking for Massachusetts to Find Some Sanity. Then we also have a commentary from Todd Starnes, which is prominently displayed. So here is the law. It is scheduled to go into effect, by the way, in just 3 weeks in Massachusetts, October 1st. Okay. And what the law does is it requires for all places which are a place of public accommodation. Okay. Now I'm going to, in a second here, going to ask Abe to explain that. But every place that is a place of public accommodation must allow people to use whatever bathroom they want. Okay, I'm just going to simplify things. Mm-hmm. So obviously a transgendered person would be, for example, a woman who believes she's a man who's or a man who believes he's a woman can use whatever bathroom they want. Now, the reason this is so controversial, Abe, is this idea of public accommodation. Mm-hmm. So define that, and then I'll explain to the listeners how this might apply to churches, or you feel free to do it if you want to do
it. Sure. Very simply, a public accommodation would be any circumstance or context where the general public is invited to participate. So anything, for example, like you alluded to earlier, spaghetti supper, if a church wanted to have,
if I want to go to JCPenney to use the restrooms, that's a place of public accommodation.
That's exactly right. That's a place of public accommodation. If you wanted to, you know, a grocery store, you name it, any place that is as an open invitation to the general public, an unqualified open invitation could be construed as a public accommodation, which includes the possibility that churches in Massachusetts who open themselves, open their doors to particular events, back to school drives, voting drives, whatever you call it, they very well could be considered a public accommodation for the within the purview of this law.
Now, and let me be careful here. Now, the law itself does not mention churches. However, the Massachusetts Attorney General, Maura Healey, wrote and the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination are interpreting the law, and they have issued a document titled Gender Identity Guidance. And what the document says is, quote, even a church could be seen as a place of public accommodation if it holds a secular event such as a spaghetti supper that is open to the general public. At that point, the church would fall under this new law and be required to submit to this gender identity, this transgender madness that seems to have overtaken the progressive movement in this country. Jan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, I hold an annual conference every year in a major church, in a mega church, and I can foresee this coming down to events, because anybody in the public is welcome to attend these events. I can see a law like this being forced on the churches, on events such as the one I host. We've got several thousand people who attend from across the country. Again, you know, guys, I just think that we are heading pell-mell into the days prophesied in the Bible. The days of Noah are predicted to come back, and it's going to be in a last generation. And it was during Noah's day that I suspect they thought about these lunacy things, such as what we're talking about right now. But to the left, it's not lunacy. To the left, this is normal. And you just have to wonder what's happened, again, to a mind that comes up with issues that are not just offensive, they're purely insane, and they're dangerous. And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, if we want to protect our loved ones, you can't do it when the left starts ruling as they're doing today, including this law. It starts in Massachusetts. It spreads across the country. I guarantee you it will if we're going to let the left continue to get away with their tantrums and their antics. It's gone absolutely off the chart.
Well, and Jan, as Abe pointed out, what the officials, state officials in Massachusetts are saying is, okay, it's probably not going to affect churches, but it will affect things like Christian-oriented soup kitchens, daycare centers, housing. If you open up your church as a polling place, you've now got to make sure your bathrooms are gender neutral, and that means allowing men into women's restroom areas. And then if you have events that you open up to the general public, a concert, for example, okay, then what the officials in Massachusetts are saying is it could. Now, I just got to tell you, I was born in the Boston area, grew up in New Hampshire. I was not a Christian at the time, but looking back at it, I'm just going to tell you, when officials in Massachusetts say it could affect churches, they mean it will. And well, I only have to take Catholic Charities in Massachusetts as an example. They were shut down. Catholic Charities, their adoption ministry was shut down because of the homosexual agenda, because that state said, no, you do not have an exemption because your adoption age, your adoption ministry is actually under secular authority. This is frightening, and it ought to scare people because what happens in Massachusetts generally makes its way around the rest of the country. We've got a minute and a half, Jan, left. What are your closing
well,
thoughts?
Well, listen, my state is Minnesota. It's every bit as blue as Massachusetts. And I think that it's because we come from these parts of the country where we've seen the insanity go on overdrive, that we get overly sensitive, but I think appropriately sensitive to the things that are coming down the pike. And quite frankly, I'm just going to bring it back to the 2016 election again. Elections have consequences. I think that if we let the left continue to have their way, these kinds of mandates are going to come down. As you say, it'll start in Massachusetts. It will spread across the country. I guarantee it'll end up in Minnesota next, and then California. So right. Elections, they are so important, and our listeners have got to get out and vote in November.
Well, and I don't think you were probably listening in earlier in the program. It might have been at the top of the hour, but I don't quite remember. But Abe and I were talking, and I mentioned the fact that in 2003, when the state Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, first state in the country to do so, I remember Christians criticizing AFA for making a big deal about that. We actually had U.S. senators who said this is no big deal, because at that time we were pushing a federal marriage amendment to protect states who did not want this kind of thing in. And the argument I kept hearing even from Christians and from pastors, this is just Massachusetts. That's just Massachusetts.
No.
Now it's legal everywhere.
You're doing, guys. You're doing a great job, and we so appreciate the AFR audience because they are informed, and they're informed because of the programming that you fellows are presenting.
And Jan, you are a part of that programming. Thank you so much, Jan, for being our guest.
Thank you, Ed. Bye now.
I just add in here, Ed, what you hit is spot on, because just like you said, Massachusetts was the first state to allow homosexual marriage, and now it has swept the nation. And we would be foolish to think that the same thing couldn't happen here and now, especially when we have people who've gone on record and said that if you have well-held beliefs that don't comport with public policy, you're going to have to change your beliefs.
That's right.
This is an example of that happening, where the state is going to come in and tell you that we're going to decide what is a religious gathering and what is a secular gathering, and we don't care if you are a church. If you do something that we don't deem to be church-like, then you will be subjected to de-sexing your bathroom.
De-sexing. Folks, that's all the time we have. Today's issues, Ed Vitagliano and Abraham Hamilton. Keep listening to American Family Radio. See you tomorrow.